Good morning.
Welcome to Trinity Lutheran Church, Hoyleton, Illinois.
Enjoy your service.
Thank you.
Good morning. Welcome to worship here at Trinity Lutheran Church in Hoyleton, Illinois. My name is Pastor Nate Wallenberg. Welcome to those of you watching this at home. Today is the third Sunday after Pentecost, and we are rejoicing today that the Lord has sent us some rain to water the earth. We give thanks to God for that. We also are going to be continuing our sermon series today. We've been going through the Ten Commandments this summer, and so today we have made it up to the third commandment, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. And we're going to talk a little bit about what it means to rest. That's what, of course, the Sabbath helps us to understand, what it means to rest in the Lord, and that Christ himself is our Sabbath rest. Now, for our worship today, we'll be following Divine Service Setting 1, and we will find that in our hymnal starting on page 151, and I'll invite you to stand as we begin our worship today. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We turn now to the intro, it printed on the inside cover of the bulletin. Show us your steadfast love, O Lord. Let me hear what God the Lord will speak. Surely his salvation is near to those who fear him. Steadfast love and faithfulness meet. Righteousness will go before him. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Show us your steadfast love, O Lord. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. The Lord be with you. Let us pray together the collect of the day. We pray, Lord of all power and might, author and giver of all good things, graft into our hearts the love of your name, and nourish us with all goodness that we may love and serve our neighbor. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated for the reading of God's Word. The Old Testament reading appointed for the third Sunday after Pentecost comes to us from the book of 1 Kings, chapter 19, beginning with verse 9b. Behold, the word of the Lord came to Elijah, and he said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away." And he said, "Go out and stand on the mount before the Lord." And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of a low whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And behold, there came a voice to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away." And the Lord said to him, "Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael to be king over Syria, and Jehu, the son of Nimshi, you shall appoint to be king over Israel, and Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah, you shall anoint to be prophet in your place. And the one who escapes from the sword of Hazael shall Jehu put to death, and the one who escapes from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha put to death. Yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him. So he departed from there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen in front of him, and he was with the 12th. Elijah passed by him and cast his cloak upon him, and he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, "Let me kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you." And he said to him, "Go back again, for what have I done to you?" And he returned from following him and took the yoke of oxen and sacrificed them and boiled their flesh with the yokes of the oxen and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he arose and went after Elijah and assisted him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The gradual is found printed on the inside cover of the bulletin right below the collect. How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. Their voice has gone out to all the earth. Our epistle today comes from St. Paul's letter to the Galatians, chapter 5, beginning with verse 1 and then proceeding on to verse 13. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. For you were called to freedom, brothers, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand for the Alleluia and verse. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 9th chapter. When the days drew near for Jesus to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. And he sent messengers ahead of him who went and entered a village of the Samaritans to make preparations for him. But the people did not receive him because his face was set toward Jerusalem. And when his disciples James and John saw it, they said, "Lord, do you want us to tell fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" But he turned and rebuked them. And they went on to another village. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another he said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." And Jesus said to him, "Leave the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, "Go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Yet another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home." Jesus said to him, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." This is the gospel of the Lord. Having heard the word of God, we now join together in speaking the words of our common Christian faith. And this morning, we will confess the Apostles' Creed. We confess together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. And at this time, I would like to invite our younger Christians to come forward for the children's message. Good morning. How are you today? How many of you are feeling tired? Okay. Why are you feeling tired? Okay, you had to wake up, right? Sunday morning, hard to wake up, especially when it's kind of rainy out there, right? And it just feels like a good day to sleep in, but mom and dad said, nope, you're getting up, you're coming to church, right? So maybe you're a little tired. Why else might you be tired today? Yes, maybe it's been a busy weekend, right? What else? And you woke up super early. How many of you came to Vacation Bible School this week? How many of you are still tired from all the singing and dancing and playing we did this week? I know I am. It's busy. Summer break is a time when we call it a break, right? We say we're going to rest from all the things that we normally do during the school year. But summer break isn't always very restful, is it? Sometimes we do even more stuff in the summer that we can't normally do when we're in school all day, right? Does anybody have a guess as to how many days are left in summer break before school starts here at Trinity in the fall? Have a guess? 30? A little bit more than 30. 60? A little bit less than 60. 10? A little bit more than 10. 54, almost, it's exactly 50 days left. 50 days left of summer break. So the question is, are these 50 days going to make us more tired, or are they going to get us rested for the school year? That's the big question, right? I wanted to show you something. Zoe and I, we were having this conversation the other day, and Zoe had a really busy week and a really busy June. So I printed out a June calendar just to write down a lot of the things that Zoe had to do. And you'll see, if some of you can read, and I know not all of you can read, but there were a lot of days where Zoe had to play softball. So that's something that happens during the summer break. We have softball, softball, softball. This week we had two softball days. Church on Sundays, right? Church, 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 church. This last week, VBS, 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 VBS. But then at night on Friday, there was also a play, Frozen Junior. Zoe went to go see Frozen Junior. I know some of our members are involved in that play, Frozen Junior. And then Saturday, Abby was just talking about this, then got up early, so got home late Friday night, Saturday morning, got up early to go to the zoo, right? And then on Zoe's calendar, she had fireworks on Saturday night written here. And the reason for that was because Mrs. Wallenberg has a student at Christ Our Rock that invited us to go watch some fireworks in Farron last night. But after this really long week and a late night Friday and an early morning Saturday, by the time it was time to get ready to go to fireworks, what did you say, Zoe? Too tired, right? Too tired. Zoe was too tired. I was tired too, right? So, I was tired too. So Zoe and I stayed home and Max stayed with us too. So Zach got to go with Mom to the fireworks, right? But the point is, when we have so much going on and our calendars are full like this, sometimes we just need a break, right? Sometimes we just are so tired, we can't do anything more. And when we're that tired, the only thing that can fix it is to rest, right? Maybe get a good night's sleep, right? Maybe just take it easy for a little while. Sometimes there's so many things happening that it's hard to do that, right? Now, we might get tired like in our bodies, like we might just actually get sleepy, but there's also things that happen in our lives that can make our souls tired. And a lot of that has to do with our sinful natures. We live in a broken world that's full of sin. Sometimes bad things happen. Sometimes we do bad things and our lives get harder because of it. And sometimes we feel like we're just all alone and everything is going wrong. And that can make our souls tired. But you know what? Just like God gives us the gift of rest and sleep for our bodies, he also gives us the gift of rest for our souls. And when we are resting for our souls, that means we are with Jesus. Jesus is the rest that we need for our souls. Now, how does Jesus come to us? That's the big question. If your soul is tired, how does Jesus come to you? Do you have an idea, Lila? Okay, so someday we will be at eternal rest in heaven. But how about right now? Before we die and go to heaven, how does Jesus come to us now and give us rest for our souls? Keegan? Yeah, through the Bible, right? So maybe when we hear his word, if we read the Bible at home, or another great place to hear his word is right where you are right now, right? Right here in this church. God gives us the ability to rest. And so he calls us to come to church and to hear his word, to remember the gifts that he gives to us, the promises that he makes to us, that he will always be with us, that we can come to him and we can rest in him. That's what fills us up and gives us the ability to go and do all the crazy things that we have on our calendars. June is almost over, but guess what? July is going to be busy too. Some of us are going to be going on trips. Some of us have lots of projects to work on. There's all kinds of things to do. But if we are at rest in Jesus, we have the strength that we need to go and do those things and to do them with joy and with the love of Christ flowing out from us, right? So this might have been a really busy and tiring week at God's Wonder Lab VBS, for those of you who joined us, and we learned all about God's marvelous things that he does, right? Well, even though we may be tired, here we are together in church. Here we receive refreshment and renewal for our souls, and we can go forth from here, and we can tell everybody about Jesus. We can do all the things that we need to do with love. So let's say a prayer and let's thank God for this rest that he gives to us. And if you want to fold your hands and bow your heads, and you can repeat after me. Dear God, we thank you for sending your Son to be our rest. Help us to be refreshed and renewed and to do your work wherever we go. In your name we pray. Amen. Okay, thank you guys so much for coming up. You can go back and sit with your moms and dads. Okay, we can talk about that later, Wes. All right, and for the rest of us, as we think about rest, we will sing hymn number 684, Come Unto Me, Ye Weary. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the sermon today is the third commandment. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. But in order to help us discuss the third commandment, we're also going to take a closer look at the Old Testament reading from 1 Kings chapter 19. Elijah, in this text, is burdened with all of the responsibilities of his ministry as a prophet. And yet, even when he's overwhelmed, the Lord comes to him and gives him the refreshment and the renewal that he needs. And we know, just like I was talking about with the kids just now, Same thing happens to us. There are times when we get overwhelmed and frustrated and burdened with so many things in life, and we can be tired, but we give thanks that Jesus Christ is our Sabbath rest. This is our text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, you've probably seen this on a t-shirt or something like that before, maybe just a picture as you're scrolling through your phone. But there's been a popular saying lately that goes something like this: Sundays are for Jesus and naps. And even if you've never heard that said before, maybe that would be an accurate description of your ideal Sunday routine. Get up, come to church, go and have some nice meal, some Sunday dinner somewhere, and then take a nice little snooze. There's nothing better than that. And if you can pull it off, more power to you, right? A Sunday morning that is filled with rest and a Sunday afternoon that is filled with literal rest, that can really set you up for a really great week. Of course, we know sometimes it's just not possible, right? Sometimes it seems like there's just too much work to do, too much to get done. There's just no way to get all the things off of the to-do list and still take a moment for yourself just to rest. Or at least it can feel that way, especially during busy seasons, right? During a busy farming season, except the Lord was merciful on us today and gave us some rain, so maybe there's not as much to do right now in this moment. But sometimes on Sundays you'll have, you know, a party or some event that you've got to attend. Maybe it's just the fact that, you know, you've got, I don't know, say 3 children at home that need to be taken care of, and so there's just not as many opportunities to rest. I know, speaking for myself, relaxing is not one of the things that I do very well. I really struggle with just not doing anything at times. Even when I do sometimes force myself to sit and try to do nothing, I'm always thinking about, you know, what needs to be done? What tasks could I be accomplishing? What would be a better use of my time than just sitting here and doing nothing? Sometimes I find myself getting busy even when I don't need to be busy. And I'm not saying this to say, oh, you know, look at your pastor and how hard of a worker I am. You know, like someone who applies for a job and they say, oh, my greatest weakness is that I work too hard and I care too much. That's really annoying when people say things like that, right? That's not what I'm trying to say. I'm saying this is a problem. It's a problem that I recognize and something that I really need to work on. There's always this nagging feeling or this voice in the back of my mind that says, resting is lazy. And I know that's not true. I know that that's a lie, but it's sometimes a hard feeling for me to shake. But the fact is that human beings were not created to be like little ants or bees that just work and work and work and work and work and never ever take a break. In fact, we were made in the image of God. And God is the one who famously set the pattern for us when on the 7th day of creation, he rested from all of his work. So in other words, not only is there no shame in taking a Sunday afternoon nap, but really we could say it's part of who we are. It's part of who we were meant to be. So later on, if you get a little sleepy, you don't have to fight it anymore. You can give in, close your eyes, say to yourself, I was made for this moment. This is the gospel of the Lord, amen? Amen. But seriously, if we never allow ourselves to rest, in the end, that's going to be detrimental to the work that we're trying to accomplish anyway. We all know what it's like when people try to live sleep-deprived, running themselves ragged. It's not good. And even though it might feel counterproductive and counterintuitive to take time away from work in order to accomplish more work, in the end, what we can find out is that sometimes stepping away from work just temporarily will lead to greater productivity and more satisfaction with one's work in the long term. Now, it's one thing to know that. It's another thing to try to live our lives that way. We're still sinners, after all. One of the things that means is that oftentimes we do not naturally want to do the things that we know ultimately are the best for us. But that's why God gave us his law. He gave us his law so that we would be encouraged to live godly lives, to hold us accountable, to show us our sin, but yes, also then to drive us into the arms of our Savior. And so I think that's one of the things that happens when we meditate upon the third commandment that God gave us. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Sabbath means rest. And I'm sure many of us remember that the original Sabbath day was set up to be the seventh day, Saturday, in order to follow that pattern that God himself set for us in the very first week of creation. This was one of the things that Jewish people always had, which would separate them from all of the pagan nations all around them. Setting aside Saturday as a day for rest and worship was something that nobody else did. Everybody else in the world would work sun up to sundown, 7 days a week. And then they would look at the people of Israel and they would think, those guys are crazy. How are they going to get all of their work done? But this was something that they did all throughout their existence. And even to this day, Jewish people continue to rest and worship on the Sabbath day, on Saturday. Back in the days of ancient Israel, it turned out to be the best thing for them. They lived lives that were much happier. They were much more satisfied with their lives than the nations around them. And they actually were healthier too. But even more important than those physical benefits that came from intentionally resting on the Sabbath are the spiritual benefits that come from taking a whole day to worship the Lord. That's why the commandment ends with the words, by keeping it holy, because worship of the Lord is a major, major part of this. Now, Martin Luther, in his explanation in the Catechism, puts it this way. He says, what does this mean? We should fear and love God so that we do not despise preaching and his word, but hold it sacred, and gladly hear and learn it. It's kind of interesting because Luther completely focuses in on the spiritual side of this. As Christians, sometimes we might wonder about how this whole Sabbath day concept is supposed to apply to us anyway, right? Especially since for the last 2,000 years of Christian history, we have been worshiping on Sundays, not on Saturdays. But Luther gets it right here. When he focuses in on the blessings of God's word coming to us, being preached to us, so that we would gladly hear it and learn it. It's not about creating this 24-hour window of time where you better not do any work or else God's going to get mad at you. And it's not about turning Sunday into some new Sabbath day where now you're going to burden the consciences of people who do have to work. There are people who have to clock in on Sunday morning. There are people who have to get work done on Sundays. It's not about that. We're not saying God loves Chick-fil-A and Hobby Lobby more than other employers because they're the ones really observing the Sabbath by closing on Sundays. It's not that. But it's ultimately about finding our Sabbath rest in Christ and in the things that Christ offers to us, hearing his word, receiving his gifts, being refreshed and restored spiritually as well as physically. The third commandment calls you to actively set aside precious limited time for worship. Even though right now there are tons of things that you could be checking off of your to-do list rather than sitting in the pew as you are. But you're here not for God's benefit, not for my benefit. You're here so that the Lord can bless you, so that the Lord will fill your empty tank, so that you can go and do your work with joy rather than constantly being frustrated and on the brink of despair. There's a really great example of that then when we take a look at this Old Testament reading. This kind of approach to worship makes a huge difference for us as it did for the prophet Elijah. This is a really great passage here in 1 Kings chapter 19, because it gives us a real and very human look at someone that is really a larger-than-life character in Scripture in the prophet Elijah. We often think about Elijah as being, you know, like superhero of the faith, and he is. And this passage in chapter 19 comes immediately following one of the greatest superhero victorious moments that Elijah ever had, his showdown with the prophets of Baal. You might remember that passage where he calls down fire from heaven to consume the sacrifice, to prove once and for all that Yahweh is the only true God. And this is after pouring water all over everything. He proves very publicly and clearly that Baal and Asherah and all of these Canaanite gods have absolutely no power whatsoever. But coming off of that victory, Elijah falls into a depression. At the beginning of chapter 9, he receives a death threat from the evil Queen Jezebel, and it just completely makes him spiral out of control, and he's feeling the weight of this burden of his ministry. He's overwhelmed with all the tasks that he finds upon his plate, but that's when the Lord appears to him, provides him with physical rest. So the first thing that happens in earlier in chapter 19 is that Elijah falls asleep. He falls asleep underneath a broom tree, and then the angel of the Lord appears and brings him some food and some water. He gets up and he eats it, and his strength comes back. So the idea that when you're not feeling great, you need a nap and a snack, it's right there in the Bible. It is a biblical concept. You can point to 1 Kings chapter 19. But then our passage, starting in verse 9, is what shows us the spiritual side. So we've got the physical side taken care of. Now you see the spiritual restoration that takes place. From a spiritual perspective, Elijah in this moment was focusing way too much upon himself. He keeps talking about how jealous for the Lord he's been, how he's the only faithful prophet left, as though everything depends on him and him alone. That's when the Lord gets his attention. And he does it in some pretty dramatic ways. There's this huge, crazy wind that appears. And then there's an earthquake. And then there's a fire. But finally, the peace that Elijah needs comes upon him in that low whisper. There's a low whisper of God. And when God speaks to Elijah, he shows him that it's not just about him. And he's not all alone. But there's two things that are going to happen. First, Elijah is going to have some help because Elisha, the next prophet, is coming. But in addition to that, there's 7,000 other people in Israel who have not bowed their knees to Baal. So the Lord, through this low whisper, is able to restore Elijah spiritually and renew him. And what God does for Elijah, he does for us. Because we need rest. And we need to hear God's word, even when it seems like just a low whisper compared to all the noise that's out there around us. We need to be reminded that we are not alone, and it's not up to us to save ourselves. And that's why God brings us here to church. Our Lord richly blesses us here with his word and his sacraments. He gives us something that is so much more powerful than just a nap and a snack. He gives us true spiritual rest. He gives us his own body and blood to eat and to drink. And just to show us that we aren't alone, he surrounds us with fellow brothers and sisters in Christ who can share our burdens through prayer and through their acts of love and mercy toward us. Jesus stands before all of us in this place, and he says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Resting in Christ is not lazy. Remembering the Sabbath day and keeping it holy is not a waste of our precious and limited time. It's a gift. It's a gift that makes it possible for the Holy Spirit to then strengthen us and use us for even greater tasks ahead of us down the road. So later on today, when you feel that Sunday afternoon nap coming on, it's about 2 o'clock or so, you don't have to fight the feeling anymore. Let yourself rest. And if someone says anything to you about it, you say, hey, it's preacher's orders. But more importantly, may you always find your spiritual rest in Christ, placing your burdens upon Him for the rejuvenation and the renewal of your soul. Cling to Jesus, where you will find the rest of your life, for the rest of your life. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. At this time, I will invite the ushers to come forward as we worship the Lord with our tithes and offerings. We now turn to the bottom of page 159 and we sing together the offertory. Please stand.
Thank you.
our prayers today, we do have a number of updates for you in the prayer list. First, you'll see under upcoming surgery, we have listed there Roy Dale. Roy has a number of things that are going on. He actually has been recently diagnosed with cancer, and he'll be undergoing some testing this week to determine what the next steps will be. But also, later this week, he also has shoulder surgery scheduled to help repair things he's still dealing with after his fall last year. And so we'll certainly be keeping Roy in our prayers. Under ongoing health needs, we have added there Eric Harkness. We found out this week that Eric has been diagnosed with cancer. There was a malignant mass found in his chest. He'll be undergoing some more testing and treatments soon, so we'll keep him in our prayers. Also, Daryl Holly is in the list today. Daryl was hospitalized this past week with some issues related to diverticulitis. He is now back home, and he is feeling better, thanks be to God. We have also added Howard Mashoff. Howard was hospitalized this week, and he was diagnosed with COVID-19. But he is also back home, and he is also feeling better, thanks be to God. Last but not least, we will include today the family of Gretchen Trinkline. Gretchen has been in our prayer list for some time. Gretchen was the wife of Pastor Hans Trinkline, who formerly served as the pastor at Olive Branch, and he's currently a missionary in South Korea. Gretchen had been fighting brain cancer for some time, and she fell asleep in the Lord this past Tuesday morning. So we will be lifting his family in prayer, and her family in prayer. Let us go to God in prayer. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. God of our salvation, when your Son set his face to go to Jerusalem and the cross, his zeal would not be deterred. Grant us to pray with the same fervor and boldness, trusting that you hear us for the sake of the Son of Man. Lord, in your mercy, God of the church, you give pastors and church workers to proclaim your steadfast love, to announce freedom from the yoke of slavery to sin, and to point all toward the cross of Christ. Bless their faithful work, that their labor in the Lord may never be in vain. Bless all of our partners in mission and ministry, including Pastor Joel Fritchie, serving you in the Dominican Republic, and also our sister congregation, Our Savior Lutheran in Carmi, and their pastor, Dean Spooner. Lord, in your mercy. God of all power and might, to you belong the kingdom and the glory forever. Give insight and wisdom to our president, our governor, legislature, magistrates. Direct them to punish evildoers. Reward the righteous and strive for peace. Be with those who serve in the armed forces, especially Michael, Daniel, Brett, Jesse, Chase, Isaac, Patty, Robert, Austin, Ward, Colby, Eric, Daniel, Joyce, Tanya, Shaylin, Alex, and Lucas. Lord, in your mercy. God of compassion, in light of the news this week that Roe versus Wade has been overturned, we pray for peace. If it be your will, lead state legislatures across this country to enact laws that will both protect the unborn souls that you have created, as well as give real support to the mothers who carry them, whatever their situations may be. Guard our tongues as we speak with our neighbors about this controversial issue, so that all we say and do may be to your glory. Lord, in your mercy. God of joy, we thank and praise you for all of your blessings, for the rain which you have sent to water the earth, the vocations you have given us for love and service to our neighbors. We rejoice today with those who rejoice, especially all who are celebrating birthdays, including Robert, Shannon, Kevin, Verdell, Myra, Derek, Tony, Kathy, Donald, James, and Raylan. We also lift before you all married couples and ask you to bless those who are celebrating special anniversaries, including Al and Elaine Meyer. May your love for them be reflected in the love they have for one another. Lord, in your mercy. God of refuge, your salvation draws near to all who trust in you. Grant peace to your people and show us your salvation. Hear our petitions for healing, strength, and comfort for all for whom we pray, including all those who are on our prayer list including those who are in care facilities, Nancy, Thretta, Ferris, Wilfred, Bill, Richard, Carlene, Helen, Jim, Imogene, Bessie, and Brian. We lift before you Roy as he faces his upcoming surgery and other testing. We also lift before you Ben and Francie as they both recover from their recent surgeries. And all those with ongoing health needs and concerns, including John, Daryl, Joan, Wayne, Amy, Eric, Patrick, Rebecca, Beulah, Daryl, Carolyn, Doug, Millie, Bradley, Jamie Lynn, Howard, Wayne, Andrea, Gladys, Linda, Missy, Chris, Sam, Paula, Kim, and all those who are fighting cancer. Be near them as the refuge of the weary and the God who preserves his people. We also ask you, O Lord, to be with all those who mourn, especially the family of Gretchen Trinkline. Remind them of the comfort of the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Lord, in your mercy, God of our Lord Jesus Christ, grant that the whole church might fix her eyes on him. Teach us the way of the cross. Remove hindrances and distractions. Do not let the freedom we have in the gospel become an excuse for sin and vice, but an opportunity for love and service. Lord, in your mercy, into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Receive the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. You may be seated. Our closing hymn today is number 854, Forth in Thy Name, O Lord, I Go. And just keep note that we will be singing that to a different tune. The tune is To Jordan's River Came Our Lord. Good morning. Not too many announcements today, although first of all, I did want to say thank you to all of you who had anything to do with this successful vacation Bible school program we were able to have this past week. Those of you who donated your time or your finances or anything that you've done, even simply prayer support, what a blessing it was to have about 65 kids here all week long. The Lord gave us some great kind of warm weather, but we had some water games outside. And I was really thankful. We had as our mission project this week disaster relief efforts that are continuing in Mayfield, Kentucky after their recent tornadoes there. And we are going to be sending some money to the LCMS Mid-South District to help with that. And the kids brought in over $875 this week for that. So that's really amazing, and we give thanks to God for that, for a successful VBS. So coming up now, now that we're coming down off the VBS mountain, there's just a few things going on. Tonight, there is youth night, so YPS and Club 58 will meet at 6 o'clock this evening. However, I did want to also mention that for those that are going to the National Youth Gathering in Houston coming up just a couple weeks from now, we are going to have an informational meeting this evening at 5:30 before Youth Night begins. It won't be very long, but we know a lot more details now than we used to, so we wanted to share some of those things and answer any questions that you might have. So youth and parents for National Youth Gathering come at 5:30 and everybody else at 6. Tomorrow night, there will be a finance board meeting at 7. Also in the bulletin, there's a mention of a blood drive that is taking place at Christ Our Rock Lutheran School this coming Wednesday. And so we encourage you to support that and them. And the only other thing that I saw that I wanted to bring to your attention, this is coming up down the road, but it has been over 5 years since our last pictorial directory as a congregation. And a lot has changed since then. Some of you look different than you did back then, and that's okay. But it's time for a new one. And so the stewardship board is working on this, and we want you to reserve on your calendar, your very busy calendar, the weekend of October 8th and 9th. That will be when we will have pictures scheduled to be taken here. And we will have much more information as it gets closer, but we wanted that to be on your radar and on your calendar now. Anything else that needs to be brought up today? Okay, if not, have a blessed week in the Lord. Go in peace. Serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you for joining us in worship today.
We hope to see you next week. Have a blessed week.